Concert piece for four horns by Robert Schumann, featuring the horn section of the Philharmonia Orchestra. The conductor, Christian Thielemann.
89.3 FM, WHFR Dearborn. That's the station that you're listening to, and we're so glad you're there. Good day. I'm Susan McGraw, WHFR General Manager. It is a pleasure to welcome you to our airwaves. If you've got a business or an organization and you would like to get the word out in a more in-depth way, particularly during these challenging economic times, well, WHFR underwriting or sponsorship might just be the thing for you. It is a very cost-effective way to get the word out about your business or organization to wonderful listeners. Listeners that support the independent alternative programming here at WHFR and are very loyal and very receptive to what we do. If you'd like to learn more about how cost-effective underwriting can be and how it truly supports this station here at WHFR, we would love to talk with you. Give me a call, 313-845-9842. That's 313-845-9842.
You are listening to WHFR Dearborn.
Good morning. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Sarah Schweitzer, and she is a master healer and energy specialist. Good morning, Sarah. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. Just doing fine this morning.
Good. Glad to hear that. First of all, I do want to thank you. You were recently a participant in the holistic fair here at Henry Ford Community College called the Festival of Enlightenment. You are one of our body workers, so thank you very much for participating in that event. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. I had a great time.
We had a
beautiful show.
Good.
And anybody who wasn't there should have been there.
That's great. Right. Well, perhaps they'll be there next year, so that's good. First of all, how did you get interested in metaphysics?
Well, that's a loaded question.
Okay, take your time.
I started off at... My earliest recollection was when I was 3 years old, and I was noticing the spin points on my body, and I couldn't understand what they were, and no one could tell me what they were, and it's been a lifetime journey trying to figure out what they were. And I recently had that, about 1994, 95, when I figured out what they were and how to use them in healing. And it's all about energy. And that's what I love doing. And so it all started when I was about 3 years old.
Mm-hmm. What are spin points?
Spin points are miniature chakra centers that are all over your body in specific and key places, similar to the acupuncture points that an acupuncturist would use to bring your body or your chi back in the body, back in balance.
Mm-hmm.
And
So you noticed this at 3 years old and you remember that?
Oh yes, I remembered watching them not be aligned right and trying to figure out how to align them and couldn't understand why some went one way and some went a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, according to your website, you're a third generation psychic.
Yes.
So was that your mother and your mother's mother?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So did they help you through these things that you were learning about at 3 years old?
No, they didn't understand that.
They were
mostly psychics, and they kept me open because they realized the value in being a visionary, if you will, and seeing the future and knowing what things are going to be happening. And so that's a gift that's passed down. So they continue to allow me to freely express that. And when I had my imaginary friends, which were actually my spirit companions, they kept that door open for me and didn't tell me I was stupid. But they encouraged me, what are they saying to you, and kept that open. And today, when you have a child who does have that imaginary friend, so to speak, parents really should keep that door open because the children are really seeing another energy dimension here.
Yeah. Well, my friend was Goofy. I don't know what that means, but anyway, that was my special friend. So you saw or you just felt that were spirits around you? Was that it?
All the time, yes.
Did you actually see anything like that? And you spoke to them?
Yes.
And they spoke to you?
Yes.
And what did they say to you?
Well, they told me all kinds of things.
And this was beginning at the age of three?
Yes, I can remember that. Also can remember being told the answers to tests when I was in school.
Oh, really? That must have helped quite a bit.
Oh, it certainly did.
You were an A student because of that?
I was an A student, yes.
Oh, really? Wow, I wish I would have had that. But
everybody does.
Yeah, right. Worked out well, huh?
Yes, it did.
Yes. So what are some of the things they started to tell you?
Well, they started to open my awareness up of who I am, why I am, what is it that I'm doing and why that's good. Mostly like an awareness awakening, awakening me to my own spirituality and guiding me along. Just like you would, if you were tutoring somebody, you would guide them in a specific path. And that's what they kind of did. And my parents were right there to kind of mold and shape that too. And it just folded right in for me very nicely.
These master teachers, did you recognize any of them? Perhaps deceased relatives, anything like that? Or were they completely new to you?
When I was little?
Yes. Well, as you were going through life even, were there people that came back into your life that became teachers?
It's not quite the way it works.
No? How does it work?
Okay. Well, I have a book that I just sent to my publisher.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a 14-year journey getting this out, and the title is Your Guardian Angels. And in that book, I tell you about those teachers. And around you, at any given moment of time, you have 7 to 9 guardian angels or spirit teachers working in your behalf, helping you with a specific job to do to gear you in the right direction. And those teachers, they step forward and they step backwards into your band. We call it the band of light or the band of teachers in your aura field. And they do that when you are working on a specific problem or a specific awareness, and they have the expertise, and then you're interacting with them. And part of the awareness, spiritual unfoldment, if you will, is learning how to communicate to those teachers and listening to what they have to say and opening up that dialogue.
So you said they move in and out of your life when they need to?
Not in your life, in your band of teachers. It's like one will step to the rear and let another one come forward and help. And then when that's resolved, then they'll step back and another one will step forward for your next lessons. They're constantly shifting. They don't go out of the life. They stay with you. They're assigned to you.
So these are lifelong teachers?
Some of them are, yes.
But they never leave?
Not that I've seen.
So when you contact these teachers, do you see them as well as hear from them?
Some people do. They have both clairvoyant and clairaudient. And I am both, but I don't always see. Okay, it's a sense of knowing, too. Sometimes they reveal themselves and sometimes they don't.
Is it that little voice in the back of your head that you realize that you're being told something?
Oh, yes.
Yes. And you just act upon that?
You should.
Well, you should, but I know it's not always practical, or sometimes you may not agree with it, but you always try to follow that advice?
Are you asking me personally?
Yes.
Yes, I always do. For the to the best of my ability, I do. I've tested it through the years, and I think we all must test it through the years to see whom is giving us this advice, and if it's good, solid advice, in your life. And the only way you can determine that for yourself is to test it. And if they say, turn left, there's a parking space, okay, you turn left, there's no parking space. But if you would have turned right, it was. So you have to play with that until you feel comfortable with the message that they're giving you and that you can trust that. Mm-hmm. And for me, I always tell my clients, always test it, always test.
Mm-hmm. But you also suggest that they trust the information as well?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So even though, again, if you turn right, there's a parking space, but you turn left, there's not, you were supposed to turn left for whatever reason. Is that correct?
That could be correct if you believe in predestination.
Mm-hmm. Right. You just have to go with the flow, so to speak.
Go with the flow. Everything's mm-hmm. in the now moment.
Right. So everything is about energy. Is that what you're saying? Is
yes.
that part of your message?
Yes. Everything is energy. There's an energy current between the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
And the longer we talk this morning together, that connection is going to be more and more solid and flow more easily. It flows like that with everybody. There's energy in everything in the universe. Learning how to manipulate that energy, to use it, to make it function for you, that's where it's all about.
Mm-hmm. And you feel that with your clients as well?
I feel.
As far as a connection with energy, as you get to know your clients, that energy increases or becomes better?
That's hard to answer. Yes and no. When I have a client come to me, we have a pre-arranged contract with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And usually before that client even comes to me, I've already been in their fields and energetically can tell what I need to do to assist them. I know what that contract is. And then I have to wait for them to come to me. That's something different than having the energy around. It's a mm-hmm. different kind of a flow.
Well, when you say a contract, is that something that was drawn up before you even meet that person? Or is that something that is actually drawn up between you and the client?
That is something that is drawn up before you even take the human body.
Mm-hmm.
When you're still in the out-of-body state, you sit with your counselors or your lords of karma and you draw up objectives for what you are going to do in this lifetime. And you may only have one objective in this whole lifetime. And then other people may have 22 objectives or more. But the point is you outline those objectives right when you are in the out-of-body state. And as you're constructing them and saying, yes, these are the things I want to do, then you start pulling the people who you know will be the most advantageous person in your life once you have taken the human body to help you meet that objective.
Mm-hmm.
If that person is going to be there and everything's perfect, you draw up a contract with them. It's like you and I have a contract together. Your contract was my contract or your contract, however you want to look at it, was to have me on the show today.
Mm-hmm.
There is something that's going to come out that somebody might hear that they need to hear to make a connection with me, to make a connection with your show for a future time. It's not for me to understand. It really isn't for you to understand. It just is. And the fact that you recognized when we met that you would like to have me on the show, that's recognizing the contract. I recognize that you recognize the contract and said yes. And so that way we have that interactive dialogue. So when you talk about energy, that energy has already been established between us.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying
right,
on that?
Right.
So everybody has got contracts with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's whether you honor those contracts or not that takes you on or off your soul path. And when we come to the planet Earth, we're the only planet, so I'm told, in this universe that has free will. So even though you have a contract with somebody, you have a free will to ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like there's a traffic sign that says stop. You have a free will to break that law if you want. There's consequences.
Right.
But you still have free will choice. And that is very important to know when you're having contracts. And that takes you off of your soul path sometimes. Mm-hmm. When you're that unruly student of life and you just want to buck the system everywhere you can, it's going to take you off your soul path for a while.
Mm-hmm. The important thing, though, is to get back on that soul path?
Absolutely. If you want to meet your objectives, yes.
Mm-hmm. I just want to briefly mention that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. And today my special guest is Sarah Schweitzer, and she is a master healer and energy specialist. And something I wanted to talk about is these contracts that you sign before you come back to life. Everything's determined, like what parents you're going to have, brothers, sisters, friends, things like that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And as a result, those are the people that you're supposed to work with that are going to teach you the most things you need to know. Is that correct?
Yes, to get you to the next point so the next set of people can come in or the next set of experiences can be learned.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been in a situation where you have just been stymied as to what it is you're supposed to learn from certain people?
That happens a lot.
Yeah, okay.
yeah, it happens a lot to a lot of different people in a lot of different relationships, too. And for me, the best thing I do is say, hey, let it flow.
Right.
You know, I'm just going to stay in the moment, and I may not understand why something happened to me. But one thing I've learned, and I've learned it through the School of Hard Knocks, is I'm not going to get stressed about it.
Mm-hmm.
I try my absolute best to stay in the flow, and I am human, and sometimes, you know,
right.
those emotions get there.
Mm-hmm.
But when you stay in the flow, and you say, well, gee, I really don't like the way that just came down, but you know what? It's beyond my control. It's over and done with. I can't fix it, can't redo it. So I have to stay in the now moment and just go forward with it. And if people could do that, that would eliminate a lot of stress for a lot of people. Because you can't live in the past.
Mm-hmm.
That's already happened.
Right.
And you can't go back and bring it to the... It doesn't work. The only thing you bring forward from that is pain and emotion, drama. And it's called baggage.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to drag that behind you every day of your life, how are you possibly going to be alert enough in your now moment to see when a beautiful opportunity is going to be there for you to grow and move to your next, if you got all the pain that you couldn't let go from the past? How can you embrace the potential of your future? You can't.
Mm-hmm.
You're locked. So when you say, are you locked? Yeah, we get locked.
Well, there again, people also live in the future. They're always thinking about something that could happen or might happen in the future. I think it's very hard to live in the now. Don't you feel like that? Sometimes, anyway?
No.
No? It comes naturally to you?
I made the decision to live in the now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been my reality for about... I would say about 15 years that I've been embracing the light body ascension process. And once I understood how to live in the now, how to live in the world without being of the world, and to live in my now moment, I don't think I could live any other way.
Mm-hmm. And how did you achieve that?
By the School of Hard Knocks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did the light body ascension process. I started it off with learning about my inhibitor crystals. I'm an old soul.
Mm-hmm.
You're also an old soul. We have have inhibitor crystals that lock us down into our spiritual awareness. And once those crystals are etherically removed, that opens the cells to receive higher light. When the cells can receive higher light, they can mutate into a higher light cell, which is going to regenerate and rejuvenate with divine perfection. And when that happens, you can embrace the higher energies, incorporate them, clean it all up, let the past go, and stay in the past, and move forward into the now, one now moment at a time.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I think that's the hard part sometimes, is to live in the now, because people, like you said, either want to live in the past or the future. It's hard to pay attention with what's going on right now because sometimes they lose sight of the big picture and they don't always do what they should. Do you find that to be true sometimes?
Not necessarily what they should do, but you. This is only my opinion, but I think when you're holding on to the past and you have the hope for the future, you're missing the emotion of the now moment. You're missing that moment. And for some people, that can be a very painful place to be. And, you know, a lot of clients come to me and they say, well, how can I get over this pain? How can I move forward when I'm hurting so much emotionally? And I say, you just got to acknowledge the pain and say the pain will not have any more power over me because this is the first day of the rest of my life. We hear that all the time. And that's living in the now moment, one moment at a time. And if you have no fear in one moment, can you have no fear in the next moment?
Theoretically, yes.
And then the next moment?
Right.
And then the next moment?
On and on.
And you take life one moment at a time.
Mm-hmm.
There was, I heard it somewhere, be anxious for nothing.
Okay.
And I have that on a post-it note on my refrigerator, and when I get a little stressed out, I have to go to the refrigerator for at least something, at least to find chocolate.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's a good stress reliever right
it
there.
It is, and women love chocolate.
Well, men too, myself. Okay.
So when I open the refrigerator door, I see the thing, be anxious for nothing, and I, you know, that's right. What am I getting upset for? I think I'll just have the chocolate anyway.
Yeah, right, and enjoy it.
And enjoy my chocolate because life is going to take care of that anxious moment. And when you have a communication that's solid with your spirit guides and helpers, just say, hey, fix it, help me, show me.
Mm-hmm.
And they will.
Right. You just have to be open to whatever they say.
You have to be open to receive the message,
mm-hmm.
and then be strong enough to accept what they have to say. And if it feels right inside of you, then it's your truth. Then mm-hmm. you go with it.
But if it doesn't feel right, what do you do then?
Well, then you test it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to test it to make sure it's going to work for you. And my philosophy is everybody needs to know who they are inside. And a lot of people don't know that. And I didn't know who I was for the longest time until I started to meditate, go silent, and discover who I am. And then sometimes it's a little scary when you realize who you are
mm-hmm.
and the potential that you can do. And
right.
that's another ballgame in itself.
Right. People don't want to recognize that sometimes.
We're conditioned, I think, socially to always look to the negative. And when so much, especially in this day and age with the unemployment rate and bankruptcies and corporations closing their doors and a lot of people out of work, it's very, very difficult for people to hold on to that joy, that happiness, that love, that hope for the future when there's not enough money to make the bills or whatever. And that takes away from who you are, and you get lost and caught up into that negative vortex, if you will, and it's hard for people to get out of that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my clients are having, relationship problems with their mates and with their, significant others and family members because of this, and
mm-hmm.
it's something that's very serious.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you work with your clients, do you help them, I guess, get in touch with their master teachers as well?
Yes, I do. That is a service that I offer. I'm a direct voice chance channel, and I do channel in your master teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do that, is usually not fun and games. It's very, very serious. And you would be coming to understand, who are you? What did you agree to in life? Am I on or off my soul path? How do I get back on? And by the way, what's your name and how do I talk to you when Sarah's not here?
Mm-hmm.
And if you just can achieve those goals in your session, you've had a very successful session.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my clients say it's a priceless session.
Mm-hmm. Now, if they were to meditate, would they get in touch with their master teachers at that point?
You can. There are specific meditations that you can move the energy of that meditation to opening the door of communication with your teachers, yes.
Mm-hmm. So they learn how to contact and talk to their teachers?
You can, yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that something you offer? Is that a class? Or is that just working with the client, you teach them how to do that?
Oh, I don't work with a client per se to teach them that. I do teach, when I teach a meditation class, then I would be working with a group of clients to teach them that. Mm-hmm. But I don't normally do that on a one-to-one. I run a Monday night meditation circle out of my home. And in that meditation circle, I do teaching there. I help people to achieve that silence from within. And then I allow them. We have, it's a democratic group. We vote on what we're going to do for the night. Most of the people want to do some form of a healing. So we will move that with our master teacher or our healing teacher in a healing vein. And we guide it down that way. So they are very successful in meeting their teachers through that meditation circle.
Mm-hmm. When people come to you, is it usually just because they've had some type of trauma in their life? Or can it just be they're just curious and they want to know where they should be going and what they should be doing?
I have people come to me for all different kinds of reasons. I have some who just are curious. They want to know what a psychic reading is all about. Some who don't know if their boyfriend or their girlfriend's cheating on them. They want to know if they're going to lose their job, if the baby that they're carrying is a boy or girl. Then I get people, should I sell my house? Should I move? And those are the kind of everyday kind of questions I get. And then I get people who want the channeling sessions, who will want to know, am I on or off my soul path? When did I get off? Why? Was there a past life connection to that? What did I need to learn? Did I learn that? And if I didn't, what do I need to do and how do I get back on it? Those are more like a moving of the soul path forward for your healing and your spiritual growth and development. I get clients that want to come and they want to make that connection with their master teacher because they know that they can't do it on their own. They're hitting that spiritual brick wall. They don't know what ends up. They're on a plateau. No matter what they do, it's not working, and they need to know why. And me, Sarah, I don't know. So that's when the chance channel readings come in, and they talk directly to the master teacher, and the master teacher pretty much always answers their questions or guides them in the right direction so they know what they're going to do next time.
Mm-hmm. This is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Sarah Schweitzer. She is a master healer and energy specialist. And what is an energy specialist?
Energy specialist would be someone who specializes in energy.
Okay. That's the simple description. Is there a little more detail?
A lot more detail. Energy specialist comes about from my healing ability. That's mm-hmm. where I honed the energy that I have come to say energy specialist, okay? Because when you're doing a healing on somebody, you're dealing directly in their energy fields. In the aura field of light is everything that that person is. You can tell what they ate, who they talked to, how they're feeling, what's happening in the future, what happened in the past. Everything is lodged in the aura field, and it keeps recycling. So when something is lodged in an energy field, it takes on a vibration, and that vibration has energy. Now, when you go to clean out the field or move a block in the field or do some kind of healing work, you've got to move that energy frequency. If you cannot understand the frequency and attune your own body to the frequency, you can't move it. So, an energy specialist would be someone who is able to attune to all the different minute frequencies in somebody's energy field and change it somehow, make a difference somehow, move those frequencies to whatever the person who was having the work done wanted to have done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And from learning how to work with the frequencies in the aura field, then I learned how to work with the frequencies in the human body, all three aspects of the human body. And I take that and I actually move the energy within the body in what I call the matrix body or the physical duplicate of the physical body. And then I take that into the multidimensional bodies and I attune to those bodies and I fine-tune everything. Let's say you had a pain in your body for whatever reason.
Okay, I've got many, but go ahead.
I picked up on that. You have a shoulder pain, okay? Something simple.
Okay.
Okay, and you come to me, you want it fixed. Well, we can do a massage, we can do the essential oils, we can do a lot of different physical things to you. Mostly what I would do is go into you to find the root cause of that shoulder pain. And I might find in a past life that you were a soldier and you were stabbed in the shoulder and that's the way you died or whatever. There is emotion attached to that and it's stuck in the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So now I would have to go in and get into the emotion, the energy and the frequency of that emotion that you held and help you to release that emotion. And let's say we're going to be very successful in this healing, okay? And you release that. Then I go into the physical body and have to readjust the energy there, go up into the auric field, adjust it there, and you would leave my table feeling pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
To take it to the next step and to do it on the multidimensional level would be to take it right out of the awareness. So you would never have to deal with that again unless you wanted to bring it back on a free will choice.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way that you can live in the now moment when you take all of that past and you just either ignore it or you remove it energetically. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Well, now, as a person gets older, they get these little aches and pains. Now, would that be from past life experience somehow?
It could be. It's probably because you have built up abuse in the body.
Yes, okay, among other things.
Among
perhaps
other things.
Using various, I don't know, drugs, we'll say. But all those things take account, I'm sure, over the mm-hmm. lifetime of a person.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those things carry an energy frequency. And even though, let's say, back in the 60s, you smoked some funny stuff, that still is an energy frequency that is lodged within a cell, at least one cell, of your body today.
Mm-hmm.
And when triggered, that will bring up either the good or bad trip that you had.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's all energy frequency.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you work with a person in that respect, does that help them get back to working with their contract? Perhaps getting rid of some pain, helping them move along somehow? Not necessarily?
Not necessarily. It would help the person to clear out their past choices that may or may not support their soul purpose or their soul path in life. It's all about understanding who you are and your commitment to that soul path. And if you are messed up because of emotional stuff in your past, that has to be dealt with at some level
mm-hmm.
before you can go forward and embrace whom you are. And there's lots of therapies out there, you know, holistically as well as mainstream, that help you go through traumas and bad experiences in life. I mean, psychiatry, behavioral psychologist, and then we have NLP work, we have Chinese medicine, we have all kinds of different alternatives to help people. And it's whatever resonates with you. I mean, you could do, you know, 20 different treatments to get rid of the shoulder thing, and someone says, oh, did you try the lemon juice and banana treatment? That's what's going to work for me. So you do lemon juice and bananas, and the shoulder's fixed. Why? Oh, that's a big thing. Why did that work and 20 others didn't? Mm-hmm. And it's because of the intent. Because at that point in time, when you were absolutely ready to have that pain go away for good, someone said, oh, there you go. Lemon juice and bananas will work.
So it could have been virtually anything.
Anything.
And that's going to work.
Snap your fingers 3 times and touch your toes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've tried that. It doesn't work.
Anyway,
not for me anyway. But that's good, though. I mean, you help people relieve pain. I have heard of that where sometimes pains or phobias are from past lives and that you work through that in order for that person to be cured.
Especially if you've got something going on in your body and you have been to every doctor you can think of, they ran every test that they possibly can, and it's inconclusive. They don't know why you have this mysterious phantom pain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we hear this all the time. That usually is your number one indicator that what you're experiencing is past life.
Mm-hmm.
Something's lodged there, or it could be a multidimensional life that it's lodged. You have a block. That's when you need to see your spiritual healer.
Mm-hmm. So they can correct the situation.
And if they would come to me, you would start off with an emotional release therapy healing, and you would be very conscious during the whole healing, and we would work through that pain, and we would go till we found the root cause of it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I found the root cause, then I would say, are you ready to give this up? And you'd be surprised. There's a lot of people that said no.
Right.
I need to keep this.
And that's part of their life contract?
That's their free will choice. It mm-hmm. could be part of their contract or part of their free will choice. You know, when you have something that you've lived with all your life,
mm-hmm.
it becomes you.
Right. Well, sometimes people are afraid of change, whatever it might be.
Absolutely.
They get used to it, right, wrong, or indifferent, and they don't want to let it go, I would imagine.
It's called a comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I think everybody has those zones.
We do.
Yeah.
We do. And breaking out of that zone takes courage.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're breaking out into an area of total unknown. You don't know where that's going to take you.
Right.
And what if you decide to break out and you start cleaning up the physical body, the emotional body, the spiritual body, the mental body? You're really on the ball now, getting your bodies cleaned up, and you're in a relationship and your partner doesn't want to.
Right.
And you are changing, and now you become a threat to that person because you're not predictable anymore.
Right.
And you have broken the comfort zone of the relationship. And that is something that people need to think about, especially if you have people who you love.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure that happens from time to time. You have to let go sometimes of relationships in order to progress in life, would you say?
Some people make that choice to do that. Other people work within the relationship, hoping and praying that the significant other will get a light bulb go on and want to do it too. And I've seen a lot of, and you know, I need to say to your listeners, that happens more often than not. Because we are in the process of having this planet be totally going to light. It has already ascended. We have come out of the darkness, if you will. And everybody has permission now to go to the light. So it's okay to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people who didn't think that they would ever do something like that are finding out it's not so threatening and it's pretty cool.
Right.
And they are making changes, and that's good.
Right. Well, like you said, though, it can be fear of the unknown, if nothing else. That's why they don't want to change. Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I would agree.
Right. Now, if you have a contract, and obviously you are reincarnated with people that perhaps you knew in a former life or whatever, but they're supposed to be with you according to your life contract, do those contracts call for the exclusion of certain people as you go on in life, and that if you change and they don't want to, that you have to leave them or you can leave them? Again, that gets back to free will.
Yes, that does get back to free will. And, you know, if you have a contract with somebody and you're working on that contract, you will be in that relationship for as long as that contract term is active. When the contract is finished and there is no charge between the two people anymore, then you have free will to either stay in the relationship as friends or whatever, or move on to your next.
Mm-hmm.
It's a release.
Mm-hmm. This is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Sarah Schweitzer, and she is a master healer and energy specialist. Now, when a client comes to you, do you talk to them at first to find out about them and what they're there for, or do you just intuitively seem to know why they're there?
Both.
Mm-hmm.
When a brand new client comes in, I usually want to know if they've been referred, how they heard from me, and then what do they want to see me for?
Mm-hmm.
And whatever they want to see me for, you know, if it feels right to me, I say, yep, that will work. And we bring them in, we do their session, and then we go on.
Has there ever been a time where you felt you couldn't work with somebody for whatever reason?
There have been times where the energy was not conducive to working with somebody, and we tabled it and we did something different, and we approached the issue from a different point of view, and it worked.
Mm-hmm. So you just have to use a different method to correct certain situations?
Yes. Sometimes it's not always black and white. If a person's coming to me, they have a contract to be with me. And if there is a block for that, this is my reason for coming to you, and they just won't let that go, then you have to work around that a little bit. But, you know, that's kind of like hardly happens anymore because the energy has changed so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't had that in almost 20 years.
Mm-hmm. So everybody that comes to you, you feel you can help one way or another?
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you actually talk to their master teachers as well to find out what the situation might be? And again, they may be claiming one thing, but the master teachers might be telling you something completely different.
They have a whole different reason for bringing them in my chair or on my table.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it always works out. It always does. And to answer the question, yes, I am always in communication with their master teacher or their spiritual guide or their healing teacher for whatever reason they came into me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you can also tell if they are trying to hide something?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you ascertain that. And again, perhaps that's what you referred to earlier by going around certain issues to get to the core issue that is the real problem.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that does work like that. Sometimes people are in that locked in that fear. They're locked down and they're panic stricken and they just don't know how, they're overwhelmed and they just don't know how to voice what they're feeling. So there's other ways of making them feel comfortable and allowing that energy to flow. There again, it's all about energy. It's all about getting that energy to flow through the body, flow out of the aura, clean the aura, and give someone the space that they need to do some more processing if that's what they need, or to heal, or whatever their need is.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes their egos might get in the way because they don't want to be healed, even though they claim they want to be healed.
That happens occasionally.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is the karmic council? You mentioned that earlier, and I saw it on your website. Is that something that is determined before you take life again here on the planet Earth? Is this a council of three or four different entities that help you determine your contracts and what it is you're supposed to do here on Earth?
The Lords of Karma?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're asking about. You know, unless you die and you come back, firsthand information, we don't know for absolute surety.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But from my truth and my understanding, I tell my clients, picture yourself in a boardroom, long table. Somebody's at the head, that's the CCO, and you got people on either side. They're made up of 12 of your peers, and these are your energy peers. This is a whole other realm for this. But they're your energy peers, and they dictate, they don't actually dictate, they assess your actions. When you break a universal law, you stand accountable to the Lords of Karma for that law. And it is a serious thing, because if you had one of your objectives was to show compassion to people, and all of your life you had made free will decisions that were not very compassionate toward other people,
mm-hmm.
when you stand in front of the Lords of Karma, they're going to say, well, gee, look at this. You came, you know, down to the earth plane to learn compassion, and you didn't do one compassionate thing. Let's talk about this. And you may come back again in another lifetime for one purpose, and that is to learn compassion. So the Lords of Karma are made up of those peers that are here to help you make your goals and your dreams and your action plan for your soul purpose and your soul growth come to fruition. They are like the teachers who help you to get there. And when you don't get there, then they guide and they talk to you, they counsel you, and then you go into your deep sleep, and then you come out again with your new team, and you're going to try it again.
Mm-hmm. So the Lords of Karma and your master teachers are two different groups?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your master teacher can speak at the Lords of Karma. You are not there by yourself. They can be a part of that review session.
Mm-hmm. And during that review session, everything is brought up that that person needs to change or accomplish?
Your whole life is reviewed, every action. Mm-hmm. It's like you have a video camcorder on you completely at all times, and mm-hmm. it's reviewed.
Mm-hmm. So your life does flash before your eyes, so to speak?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, again, I've heard of that, and people realize what they've done wrong and right,
mm-hmm.
you know, during their lifetime as to how they've handled certain situations or people, whatever the case may be. And you have found that to be true?
That, yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. And when somebody comes to you and they say that, I really can't deal with this person, they are really bothering me, whether a boss, a mate, whatever the case may be, do you usually find that that person has known that person, perhaps in a different lifetime, that whatever they have to work out, they're supposed to do so during this lifetime, and that's part of their contract?
That could be.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I usually find is that that person is a catalyst for the other person's growth.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come to me for that, I say, well, when you're with that person and you could take out their throat because you're so angry, why? What is it that they do? And I always focus it back on the client to have them look deeper into what makes it work. Why is there friction between you and this person? And if that person did the very same thing, it wouldn't matter to you. So what is it with that person? There could be a past life, but mostly it's a learning mode for somebody.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, they have to learn these lessons in order to progress, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you said a contract could be just one thing, or it could be many different things.
Yeah.
How do you know?
You don't.
Really? Do you just learn these things as you go through life?
What do you mean, from your own contract or
yes.
me?
No, well, from your own contract.
From my own contract?
Mm-hmm. Each individual's contract.
I think that if we knew exactly what we came here to do, every point, every item, with that little outline sheet, that would take the fun out of being here.
Uh-huh. Well, again, it gets down to free will.
Free will, right.
Mm-hmm. So you can change the contract as you go through life?
I don't think you can change your contracts.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can take additional contracts on. I don't think you can change what you agreed to once you have agreed to do it and mm-hmm. signed on the dotted line. I don't think you can change that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure.
How do you sign on the dotted line, so to speak?
You agree. However that is. I think the signing on the dotted line would be equal to incarnating into a body. These are the terms and conditions of incarnation. Yes, I agree. Give me the body. And then we're here.
So wherever you end up, with whatever parents, whatever geographic region, race, religion, everything was predetermined?
Yes.
Now, if you commit suicide, is this breaking your contract?
That's a hard one, and that one comes up a lot. It could be. It could be an escape out. Everybody has an out for this life. Everybody, in order to be born, you have to agree on a death. Okay? So everybody's got to die. That's how we leave the body for good. Okay? Suicide can be a point in your soul life plan where you have been killed in another lifetime. Let's say in another lifetime you were 22 years old and someone took your life. Their free will interrupted your plan and you were killed. In your next life, at 22 years old or thereabouts, you're going to have a close call. You're going to have an opportunity to take your own life and exit the planet. You may have a surgery that got a little touch and go. You may have a near-death experience, or you just might be in the wrong place at the wrong time and have an intervention and you're fine. You're going to have something that you need to overcome at that age. Once you've overcome it, and we are assuming that there's no other places, then you just go sail on until your agreed time is done. That's...
Well, your agreed time, is there a specific age where you know that you're going to be ending your life, or...
Do you know how rich you would be if you knew that for everybody?
Well, yeah, but that's just it. I mean, on a soul level, they don't really know that, per se.
Who is they?
Well, just the individual. Would they know that whatever they agreed to in their contract, that they're going to live to be 69, 110...
Okay, here's the deal. Let's just say that at 55 years old, you have met every point action on your contract and you fulfilled it. So what happens? Do you die?
Well...
What if you had a contract...
I would hope not, but you never know.
What if your contract stated, when you were up and with the Lords of Karma, and said, you know, I think it's going to take me to about 92 years old before I can fulfill this? Because that's a lot of work to do. And they give you to 92 years old. You finished it at 55. What do you do with the rest of the years?
Party.
You could do that.
That's the only thing left.
I think what you would normally do is your butt would be hauled up to the Lords of Karma, and they say, congratulations, here's your gold star. Now, what would you like to do? Here's another set of contracts. Which one would you like to stick with? I think you're going to get reassigned.
Oh, really? There's no easy way out, huh?
No, but you could probably work partying into it.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So when a person leaves this earth plane, does that mean their contract is up? That they have accomplished everything they were supposed to?
No, it doesn't. There's lots of people who leave and they have no clue and they didn't finish their contracts. And then I believe that they would have to come back and do it again till their objectives were completed, I would think. I'm not an authority on this.
Well, again, like you said, nobody really leaves and comes back, you know, per se, so you can talk to them. Hey, what was that like?
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you went to Miami Beach and, well, how was Miami? You know, it's not like that, I know. So that's what I say. It's all open to interpretation, and you can believe what you want to, but I do believe that there is reincarnation, among other things, you know. So I think that is something that can help guide people. And like I said, and you've said too, people that have gone through certain things in former lives are affected in current lifetimes as well. So that if you have pain in a certain part of your body, it could very well be from a different lifetime.
Yes.
And I've heard of, like I said, people that have had phobias and stuff. They've worked through them by realizing that that is a past life experience. Now, do you use hypnosis at all with clients?
I used to be a certified hypnotherapist. I no longer practice that.
Why is that?
It's a long story.
Okay, well.
When you go under hypnosis, you are surrendering your subconscious to the facilitator, who is your hypnosis facilitator. And you're turning over something very sacred to somebody else, and I never felt comfortable doing that with other people, so I elected to back out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I did not renew my license.
Do you feel that people are perhaps losing a part of their self to you or somebody else when they do that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In a way.
That's an invasion.
Yes and no. It's, you know, if you're a hypnotherapist, you're going to say, no, she's wrong. If you're an energy specialist, you're going to say, and the eyebrow gets raised. So that's a subject that I have elected to back out of back in 1983. And we can talk about something else now.
Okay. Well, you don't want to talk about that, obviously.
No, it's a touchy subject. And for me personally, I am not comfortable doing hypnotherapy with people any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many very good hypnotherapists out there, and if somebody needs to have the skill set of a trained and facilitated hypnosis facilitator, by all means, do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's plenty of good things that can occur. You know, people lose weight, they quit smoking. There's all kinds of really good things that hypnosis can do. For me personally, I'm not there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just curious because sometimes people that go through past life regressions use a hypnotist in order to accomplish that. But that's not you anymore, okay?
Not anymore.
Moving right along. How can people get in touch with you if they're interested in using your services?
Well, they can look at my website. That's www.starlightconnection.com, all one word. Or they could email me at slc2@wowway.com. Or they could call me at 586-771-4569.
And generally speaking, how long do you work with a client? Is there any time frame involved?
There's no time frame involved. It's whatever the client needs.
Mm-hmm.
If you need a half hour, I do shorter sessions to kind of help people out financially, especially if they're having budget issues and stuff. You know, I'll work within your budget with time, you know.
So it can be a sliding scale, so to speak?
Time-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Okay, in relation to what you might charge.
Right. A full session healing would be about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I will do a half hour session. And if you're coming to me for healing, you got to have me because I know that, because that's a contract. And if you can only afford 15 minutes, then that's what you'll get.
Mm-hmm.
But you will have a healing.
Mm-hmm.
The same with reading. If you come here for information and I'm the one that has the contract with you to give that, I will work with you to make sure that it's, you know, not going to break the bank, so to speak.
Can you work with somebody in just 15 minutes and accomplish things?
Yep. We hit the main thing that you need to know. That's what the mini readings at your fair was all about. Because I was doing readings and I was doing healings, and in that 15 minutes, I nail it.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you get any clients from that festival at all? I mean, people have contacted you since then?
I've had one or two, yeah.
Okay, well, good. It was positive then. That's
good. It was a positive. I had a great time at the festival. Looking forward to the next one.
Right. Well, thank you very much for doing it. I appreciate it. So, all in all, though, you would say that it's very rewarding work in helping people?
Yes, and that is part of my soul mission is to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm honoring my soul path by doing this work.
Mm-hmm. Soul path, does that refer to numerology at all?
I do numerology too.
Mm-hmm.
My soul path is the reason, the whole purpose that I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that certain numbers, though, refer to a soul path or a life path, whatever you want to call it. There are different numbers that represent different things.
That's numerology, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes,
you do that as well.
I do numerology workups too. And I also do something brand new called Soul Design, and it's specifically for the new little crystal children, babies that are born from like 2000 and up. And we can, through doing a workup on a child, I can tell what that urge that the child's going to have, what their reaction is going to be, and if a parent would raise them according to their reaction. You can be a projector, a manifestor, a reflector, manifesting generator, and a generator. And if the parents know what that child is, they can give that child or mold around that child experiences that will enhance their abilities, and therefore they raise an empowered being.
Okay, well, thank you, Sarah, very much for doing the show. I really appreciate it. Thank you for being on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Yeah, see, it wasn't so bad after all, right?
No, it was great.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Right now, I just want to thank Sarah for being my guest once again. Very interesting guest. I also want to thank my producer, Brandon McKay, for all of his effort. I really appreciate it as well. And as many of you loyal listeners know, we recently had a holistic festival on May 30th here at Henry Ford Community College called the Festival of Enlightenment, which was a great success. I would just like to thank everyone that attended this event, along with our vendors, readers, body workers, and speakers, in addition to the management and staff of WHFR. I especially want to thank Howard and Penny Golden, publishers of Body, Mind, Spirit magazine, and Darlene Supel for their generous promotion, advice, and support of this festival. And last, but certainly not least, I want to thank Susan McGraw, general manager of WHFR, for all her hard work in getting this festival together. We are really looking forward to our next Festival of Enlightenment, and we hope to see you there when we have it. Well, that's going to do it for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking. Be sure to come back next month on the 18th of July when we'll have another edition of Metaphysically Speaking. Thank you very much for listening and have a great day.